Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You are familiar with the words and phrases of the psalm that was just read as the text for this evening, because we use the words and phrases of that psalm very regularly in the liturgies of the church. We sing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," as the offertory in many of our services. And then at the beginning of both of the services, of Matins and Vespers, we sing the familiar words, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." These words of the psalmist are inspired by the Holy Spirit, though they be spoken by King David. And while they have significant meaning on their own, they become even more meaningful when we remember the circumstances and sin that led to their being spoken in the first place. King David wrote this psalm after he had been confronted by the prophet Nathan regarding his sins against God, against the people of Israel, against Uriah, against Bathsheba, and against his own flesh. The story of King David and the prophet Nathan is also used in the Bible narrative section of the Ten Commandments in your small catechism. For in this one story, we see how all 10 of God's laws, all 10 of his commands, are so easily broken by sinful man. How one sin, no matter how insignificant it may seem, always leads to yet another. King David first saw and coveted his neighbor's wife. That went on for a little while, but then he couldn't stop there. He urged her then to become unfaithful to her husband and come and be with him in the palace. Though his servants reminded him that this woman was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, he continued to covet her, and then he called to her, and then he committed adultery with her. When she got pregnant, he slandered the good name of Uriah and tried to cover up the affair, even though many could clearly see it. He tried to cover it up by bringing Uriah home from battle to quickly be with his wife. But unlike David, Uriah was a righteous man. He would not even go and see his wife while his companions were on the battlefield. The second night in his attempt, David got him drunk. Even when he was drunk, the righteous Uriah would not go down to be with his wife. And so unrighteous David's unholy plan failed. When he could not cover up the affair, he stole the woman that he had coveted and adulterated with. And he made the wife of Uriah his own by murdering her husband. If that isn't enough of the commandments broken already, he also despised his parents' teaching and authority. He brought his subjects that were under him along with him into his sin. He despised his anointing and calling as the king of Israel, as God's chosen one to lead Israel in the way of truth. He despised God's word and law and the teaching of the prophets. He placed himself above God's word and even above God himself. King David should have been on the battlefield while his army was at war. He was their leader. But he stayed home in comfort, and his idle hands and haughty eyes led to great sin. He should have been content with the hundreds of wives and concubines that the Lord had already given to him. But he was not, and he looked for more, and he saw more, and gave into the desires of his flesh, and he took more. He should have listened to his servant and advisor who told him that the woman was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, but he ignored sound advice and good counsel and godly wisdom. He should have admitted his sin and accepted the pregnancy when it became known. He should have sought forgiveness for his sin, but he was the king. How can the king admit wrongdoing and apologize? That looks like weakness. In pride and arrogance, there is great ungodliness. This man of God, David, should have been able to see his many sins, but he could not. Not until God sent his prophet to tell him a story. There was once a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had many sheep and goats, and the poor man had one little ewe lamb that he had raised in his household from the day it was young. One day a stranger came to visit the rich man, but instead of taking one of his many lambs for a feast, the rich man went into the house of the poor man and took his little ewe lamb and slaughtered it and prepared it for his guests. At the telling of this tragic story, at the revelation of this great wrongdoing spoken of by the prophet Nathan, King David was filled with rage. He said, "As the Lord God lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." The words that come from the prophet's mouth next are difficult even for us to hear. "David, you are the man. You are the one who did this thing, David. You coveted and stole and slandered and murdered and disgraced your God. You had no pity. You cannot make amends for this. And you deserve to die." Nathan goes on to remind him how God had anointed him, how God had delivered him from Saul, how his master's house had become his. And he adds that if all of that were not enough, all David had to do was ask, and God would have given him more yet. But now David has despised that word of the Lord and his gifts, and he has done evil by killing Uriah and taking Uriah's wife as his own. Maybe King David, like us, was able to convince himself that his evil deeds were actually hidden, that no one could see them. Or maybe because he was the king, he thought he could do whatever he wanted and get away with it. But he couldn't do what he wanted, and his deeds were not hidden. God saw what he had done and was not pleased. Still, instead of striking him down, as he deserved, God sent his prophet to lead this king to repentance and salvation. The result of the prophet's visit with David is nothing short of miraculous. The king, who had been blinded by sin, by arrogance, by greed, was crushed and broken by the weight of God's law. The Holy Spirit did his work in King David through the words spoken by the prophet Nathan, and David confessed. Like the lost son of Sunday's parable, King David finally despaired of himself and confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." Can you feel the weight of the words of the psalm now? "Have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me, cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." These words from the one who knows he deserves to die because of his sin. "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." The prophet from God didn't make David suffer or do acts of penance. Rather, just as the lost son's father came bounding down the road to receive him home as his son, who had been dead and was now alive, who had been lost and was now found, God, by sending his prophet, received David back as his lost son. Before David confessed, God was merciful to him. And as soon as David opened his mouth and confessed his sin, the prophet delivered the sweet gospel to him. "David, The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. He knew he deserved that death. He had pronounced the judgment on himself with his own lips. But God was merciful to him. God restored to him the joy of his salvation and created in him a clean heart and a right spirit. And God did not cast him out of his kingdom or take his Holy Spirit from him. At that moment, at the proclamation of the gospel, at the absolution of David, there was great rejoicing in heaven because of that one sheep that had been turned in repentance, had been found after he got lost. There was great rejoicing because that coin that had been lost had again been found. Rejoicing because the one who was dead in his trespasses and sins had been made alive by God. All of these words that you have heard, from Nathan to David, are also God's words to you. You are the man. It's not all those others out there that need to be shown their sins and be brought to repentance. It's you. You have sinned against God and against man, and you deserve death. You have not kept the commandments of God any better than King David did. Though you haven't taken a man's life while lusting after his wife, you have hated other human beings who have been made in the image of God. You have looked lustfully at another and desired what God has not given to you. You have refused to see your own sin and guilt. It's always someone else's fault, isn't it? You have not always used the gifts and talents that your Lord has given to you to serve his kingdom or to build others up in the faith. You have spoken evilly against your neighbor and harmed his good name and reputation. You have stubbornly refused to be reconciled to one who has sinned against you and obstinately refused to rejoice and be glad when your lost brother or sister has finally come home. You too have despised God's word. And like King David, you have often thought of yourself as supreme, as if you were God. Yes, you are the man, the woman, the child who has done these things, and you do deserve to die. Yet, as God was merciful to David and sent his prophet to lead David to repentance and back into the fold, so too has God been merciful to you. Before you knew the depth and breadth and width of your many sins, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, before you were able to consider repenting of your sins, your loving God sent his Son to die for you. Before you could see that you were in such great danger, standing at the very edge of the pit of eternal destruction, God called out your name and caused you to be turned in repentance. He rescued you. He didn't come to you to beat you up with your sins and make you continue to look at that folly of yours until you were sorry enough to be worthy of his forgiveness or until you had earned his mercy. No. In his mercy and love, he pours out himself for you. He pours out his absolution and says to you, I have put away your sins. You shall not die. And as the angels in heaven rejoice that King David was restored, so too do they rejoice when one of you, little lambs of God, confess your sins against God and against your neighbor and cry out for God's mercy. Plead for a clean heart and a right spirit. They rejoice when the absolution is spoken and you are restored. They rejoice because they know that God is merciful to sinners. They rejoice because they know that he receives sinners and eats with them. They know that God saw you in your distress and ran out after you, and that because of his mercy and love, another sinner who was lost has now been found and has been delivered from the devil's grasp and the very fires of hell. Your sins are forgiven in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He does not condemn you as you deserve. Instead, he has washed you in holy baptism and made you whiter than snow. He came into his creation and offered himself as the Lamb of Sacrifice, as the one who would carry your sins away so that you would not have to die, but that you would live. Look then to the sign of the Holy Cross made upon your forehead and upon your heart that has marked you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified in holy baptism. Listen to the words of life that were spoken over you as God made you his own. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the midst of life, we are in death because of our sins. But God the Father who created you, and God the Son who by his blood has redeemed you, and God the Holy Spirit, who by holy baptism has sanctified you to be his temple, will keep you until the day of the resurrection of all flesh. The Lord is merciful to sinners. By his death, he has destroyed death. Rest securely in his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.